So if you have your Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter 2, I'll begin reading verse number 1, and I hope you'll follow along with your Bibles if you have them today. Deuteronomy chapter number 2, begin reading in verse number 1. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, ye have compassed this mountain long enough, turn ye northward. And command thou people, saying, ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take you good heed unto yourselves therefore. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. Ye shall buy meat of them for money, that you may eat, and you shall dwell also, or you shall also buy water of them for money, that you may drink. And here's the text today, found in verse number 7. The Bible said, for the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through the great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God has been with thee, and thou hast lacked nothing. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity we have to come together today to study your word. And Lord, we thank you for the great illustrations that we see in the lives of the children of Israel. We see how much they're so much similar even to our lives as we walk through the valleys in our life and as we serve you. And Lord, as we try to be faithful to you, Lord, we always know that you'll be faithful to us. I pray now that you would guide and direct. I pray that you would give us the strength and the help we need today. Anoint my lips with your spirit and your power. We'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. We find Moses now offering this statement as he's beginning to remind the people that God's told him it's time to move on. I can only imagine the excitement that must have come to them knowing that they've been wandering in the wilderness for some 40 years, and now he said, all right, that's enough, it's time to move on. I think after 40 years of doing anything, especially wandering in the wilderness, any one of us would be ready to go. But I want to remind you that even though the time that God caused them to wander in the wilderness, his reasoning and why he did that, but yet in spite of it all, he still took care of them and met every need that they had along the way. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 4, just looking ahead, Moses again speaking, he said, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Now understand, these people were walking and wandering. They were there for 40 years, and yet they had shoes that lasted for 40 years and raiment that lasted for 40 years, and their feet did not swell. I tell you, it don't sound like me, I can tell you that. My shoes wear out a lot quicker than that. And truly, even now at my age, my feet swell quite often. But Israel, literally, what he was trying to tell them, you've been blessed and you are a blessed nation. But somehow, sometimes when we're blessed, and obviously today, all of us are blessed. And could I tell you today, irregardless of your circumstances, where you live and what you're doing and where you're going or where you're from, it makes no difference at all. But all of us in this building today are very blessed. You say, preacher, you don't understand the circumstances I'm in. I may not, but God does. But in spite of it all, friend, tonight we are fortunate to live in America, a free country where we have the freedom to come together, preach the word of God, to fellowship one with another, to love one another, and encourage in one another along the way. I believe it's clear in Scripture that God had taught them some lessons while they were there. Sometimes God allows us to go through some wilderness experiences in order that he might teach us some lessons along the way. I had the privilege, and not everyone has that privilege, but I had the privilege of going to Bible school many, many years ago. And I'm grateful. I had some great teachers, some great godly teachers, and they set a great example, and they taught me some great truths in the Word of God. But I'd venture to say today, it was not what I learned in those few years of college, but it's what I learned after I got out of college that has helped me to understand who God is and what he's doing and what he will do in each and every one of our lives. So I want you to look with me today at some lessons that they learned, and basically we're going to zero in right on verse number 7, because I believe tonight there's enough, or this morning there's enough there for us to see exactly what he was saying to us. Now, nobody likes to go through the wilderness. Nobody likes to go through that difficult time. But I want to remind you today, the Scripture says, and God said, I am the Lord, I change not. And friend, it matters not whether we're on the mountain or in the wilderness. God is still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Now, here's what they learned in the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. The first thing they learned was the person of God. When you get to the point in your life to where you have to trust God to meet your needs, you have to depend on God to answer your prayers, when you have to look to God in order that He might provide everything you need, you'll get to know Him better. The reason most people don't know Him better is because in our life, we've been so blessed and we have so much that we really don't even seem to be dependent upon God. I think of the Laodicean church said, we have need of nothing. Friend, what they needed was they needed to know the person of God in a real and powerful way. Notice in verse 7, he said, beginning that verse, for the Lord thy God. Friend, nobody else blessed them. Nobody else helped them. It was God that brought them all the way. Thank God for Moses, the man of God, that God used to lead them. But it was God that blessed them. It was God that delivered them and brought them to the place that they needed to be. I want you to notice, first of all, how personal it is. He said, for the Lord thy God. Friend, I want you to know today, God is my God. And God is your God, and everybody that's ever been born again, saved by the grace of God, God is your God. And tonight, even though this morning, I don't know why I'm trying to get you in the night service, but it'd be a good idea if you come back tonight, okay? But we think about the fact that we think about what God was doing, and yet God tells us that He is our, literally, our God. He's our individual God, if you will. He cares about our individual needs, irregardless of who we are or what we might experience along the way. He's a personal God. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm grateful today that He's a personal God. I'm glad today that God said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm glad today, not only is my God a God of love, but my God's a God of faithfulness. You can depend on Him when you can't depend on nobody else. You can trust Him when you can't trust anybody else. God is faithful and He's always right on time. You can thank God today that He's personal in the provisions that He gives to us. I'm grateful today that the psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. He said in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. I'm talking this morning about my God. I'm talking this morning about your God. I'm talking about a God today that knows your circumstances. He knows where you are. He knows what you experience, and He cares about you. He said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And then I think about the providence of God. I think today that there's nothing that happened to the children of Israel that happened by accident or circumstance. It happened by the divine will and the divine leading of God in order that He might teach the children of Israel. Friend, I submit to you today as children of God, it would do us well sometimes. And I'm not advocating that we desire a wilderness journey or that we desire to be put in a place, but what the desire ought to be today is that we might know God in a real and personal way, knowing that the providence of God works according to His plan and according to His will. And then I'm thankful today for the grace of God. I would not be here today except for God's amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. I want you to know this morning, God cares about you. I don't care. It matters not what you're going through. It matters not where you're at in life. It matters not your position, your power, your influence, your money, or anything else. What matters is God cares about you in a personal way. And then not only that, they learned that our God is a powerful God. Oh, I think today of the attributes of God. He's eternal. He'll never end. He'll never die. Listen, He died one time, but thank God He got up from the grave. He rose victorious over the grave, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. He always has been, and He always will be. He's eternal. He's immutable. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's omnipotent, meaning He's all-powerful. There's nobody any more powerful than He is. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. He's omniscient. He knows everything. Friend, tonight, it's not this morning. I don't know what's happening with me. I guess I just got up late or something. But we think about it. What God was doing is understanding today that God is omniscient. He knows what's in your mind. Not only does He know what's in your mind, but He knows what's in your heart. And I guarantee you, when the children of Israel began to come out of the wilderness, they knew that God had led them. They knew God in a personal way. They knew God in a powerful way. But I want to submit to you today, they learned that our God is a pure God. The moral attributes of God, He's holy. He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." He is a God of righteousness. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of love. He's a God of faithfulness. I'm simply saying today, our God is a pure God. When He tells us to separate ourselves, He means separate ourselves from this and separate ourselves to Him who is a pure and holy God. There's no mortal that's ever been born that's equal to God. There's nobody like Him. I'm grateful today that God stands alone. There's no one to be compared to. There's no one that we could look to that even say comes close to being who God is. And I tell you, I want to know God. I want to know God more in a real and a personal way. The second thing that I want you to know that they learned along the way was the providence of God. Look in verse number 7 again. We're going to be reading it all as we go through. "For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all thy works of thy hand." In other words, the providence of God, God had blessed them in all the works of thy hand. I tell you today, we're a blessed nation today. I've already mentioned, but we have freedom. We have freedom of religion. We have free speech. We have free ability to go out and purchase things. We have individual rights. We have modern conveniences that much of the world knows nothing of, and they only long to get it. And that's why we have thousands of people upon thousands of people flocking to America, is because America is a blessed country. And I tell you today, I'm grateful for the providence of God. God has blessed the works of our hand. And I'm not saying today that we've done everything we need to do or everything we ought to do. But I am saying today, when we do what God wants us to do, God's hand will be upon us. God will bless His people. God will meet their need. And Moses reminded them that God had met their need according to the work of their hands. Suppose God didn't bless our work. I think today how everything we do would fail. I'm grateful today for some successes along the way. But could I remind you, any success that you might have had or that I might have had, it's not us, it's God that allowed it to happen in our life. It's God that controls us, it's God that leads us and guides us into the place that we need to go. If God did not bless us, listen, every job we'd go to, we'd probably get fired or we'd lose that job if God did not bless us. I told the story, and I tell it often, and I can't get it out of my mind. A man years ago told me, he said, "God ain't blessed me. I work hard every day for what I get." I reminded him that it was the blessings of God, the reason that he had health enough to be able to work. And I'm glad today that God blesses us when we work and we do what He would have us to do. But I'm going to tell you something. God is just as interested in your job and where you work as He is about you going to church, as He is about you leading your family in the right direction, as He is about raising your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as He is in everything in your life. God cares about you, and there's no circumstance in your life that God does not care about. Amen. I'm grateful today if you've got children and they're healthy. That's a lot to be thankful for. I tell you today, and I know Brother Ronald and them have seen it, and I know Sarah and them saw it when they were going to Atlanta. One thing that broke their heart is oftentimes going to those hospitals and seeing little children. They were going through difficult times that nobody could hardly imagine. And I tell you today, we sometimes, if we're not careful, we walk around and we take so much for granted. But I tell you today, Moses was reminding them. He said, "You better remember what you learned in the wilderness. I want you to know God blessed you. He blessed you for the work of your hand. He blessed you in everything that you did along the way. He blessed me, and I hope that He blessed you to be able to live in a Christian home." There's some of you that may have not have been raised in a Christian home, but I was. And I'm grateful for it. It was a place where God was honored. It was a place where His name was not used as a curse word. It was a home where the Bible was the most important book in the house. It was a place where Christ was exalted and lifted up above all else. Friend, you say, "Well, preacher, I didn't have that kind of home." Well, you know what? You can't do anything to change that now about what you did in the past. But I tell you, if you got a home now, you can do everything in your power to have the kind of home that would be Christ exalting, that would be God honoring, that would be Bible exalted and Bible lifted up in order that others may see Christ. We're blessed this morning to have a good church. I tell you, I'm a little biased, I guess, but I love this church. And I'm sure that in many ways it could be better as far as my part is concerned. But I tell you what, God sure has sent us some good people. God's allowed us to be able to come together and worship Him. People that just love God. You know, it makes no difference what else is going on in our life or what else. What really matters is people that just love God. People who follow the leadership and people that believe the Bible. And people who desire to honor God by keeping His commandments. Friend, I tell you, the providence of God, over years, many years ago, 32 years ago, to be exact, this August, or actually July, when we started to organize this church. I won't go through all the details, but I was approached by some men. I was a pastor of a church. They were paying me good money. We had a good facilities. Everything was paid for. Church was doing well, and they didn't want me to leave. In fact, they asked me several times not to and made some propositions to ask me to stay. But I tell you what, 32 years ago, I determined that it was God's will for me to come to Thomasville, Georgia. And I tell you, 32 years ago, we came, and I'm not saying it was easy, and I'm not saying it wasn't hard, but I tell you, when I look back today, surely today I can say the Lord has blessed the work of our hands. And I'm grateful today, the providence of God. Only God could move me out of the situation I was in into a situation that I got in to where I am today. Only God. Only God. They learned about the providence of God quickly, and I must move. They learned about the perception of God. Go back in verse 7 again. He says, He knoweth thy walking. You see, the counselor is giving counsel to them in verses 4 through 6. He's telling them what to do. He said, And command thy people, saying, You're to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir. They shall be afraid of you. Take you good heed unto yourselves thereof. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you their land. No, not so much as the food, breath. Because I've given Mount Seir to Esau for possession, you shall buy meat of them for money, and that you may eat. And you shall also buy water of them for money, that you may drink. He tells them, he said, Now you're fixing to go into enemy territory. He said, Mind your own business, basically. He said, Don't go meddling in something that don't belong to you. God's already took care of that. And if you get anything to eat or if you get anything, this is what you need to do. And here's how you do it in order you might obtain the food and the water along the way. Friend, I want to remind you today that our counselor, God, the Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I remember the songwriter wrote the song, Each Step I Take, My Savior Goes Before Me. And friend, not only did God leave them hanging, and I want to tell you today, God won't leave you hanging either. He'll guide you every step of the way if you'll trust Him. You know how He does it? He said, He was about to go back to heaven. He said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I'll send unto you a comforter. And I'm glad today that we have the comforter, the Holy Spirit of God. The Creator, He sees our frailties. He knows how weak we are. The psalmist said, I am poor and needy. And friend, today we as Christians, it matters not how much money you got or where you live. Spiritually, we're poor and needy today. And we need God like we've never needed Him before. And He's important in our life that we might have Him. The constrainer knows the way. Christ prays for our safety according to John 15 or 17. In John 17, you'll really find the Lord's Prayer. Oftentimes, people quote the model prayer and say, well, that was the Lord's Prayer. But no, the Lord's Prayer is found in John 17. And in verses 15 and 16, He prays for our safety. They learned about the perception of God. God didn't lead them out there and abandon them. God didn't leave them out there and say, fend for yourself. God took care of them all along the way. Fourthly, this morning, they learned about the purpose of God. For the Bible said that He, in verse 7, He knoweth all thy walking through this great wilderness. For 40 years. Now I tell you, be honest with you, that's not, I mean, I go back 40 years ago, and I guess that was 46 years ago, so I would have been, well, it's 40 years ago, I guess, and I'd have been 26, is what I'm trying to say. I'd have been 26 years old. And I tell you, be honest with you, these last 40 years have gone by pretty fast. But in all reality, I imagine they wouldn't have went quite as fast if I'd have been wandering in the wilderness. But God said, I want you to go through there. I want to show you who I am. I want you to realize who I really am. Friend, God is so great and such a God to us. The Bible said in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You know what they did? God never met their need visibly for 40 years in advance. There was no planning ahead, at least for them. God knew what he was going to do. But God met their need on a daily basis. And I don't know, some of you may be facing something coming up next week or next month. Some of you may be going through surgeries or have things that's fixing to happen, and you're kind of anxious about it. Friend, I want to remind you that God took care of you today and yesterday, and he'll take care of you tomorrow if you'll trust him. God's purpose is given in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 23. Have your Bibles there. It won't take but a second to turn there. Look at that verse in verse number 23. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware to our fathers. I almost preached on this verse this morning. I found it and I almost changed my message. He brought us out from thence that he might bring us in. You might hear that for too long. He brought us out that he might bring us in. He brought them out of the wilderness to bring them to the place of blessing. The wilderness was merely God fulfilling his promise to Israel. They left Egypt in one day, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of them. And then when he gets it out of them, God had a purpose to lead them out so he could lead them in. The Bible said in Deuteronomy 2, 8, chapter, verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at a later end? The hymn writer wrote, this world is not my home. I'm just simply passing through. I tell you, we're in the wilderness. You know, you said, man, all this stuff going on, I think you're right. Listen, I know I'm right. Listen, we're living in a wilderness times, and they had to learn the purpose of God. Friend, nothing is more important this morning than the purpose of God. And no matter what it is, and no matter how hard it might be, and whether we're willing to accept it or not, we need to learn today God's purpose. And God's purpose is to humble us and to prove us and to bring us to the place we need to be. And quickly, they learned about the patience of God. And I reckon how that happened. Well, 40 years. I guess after 40 years, you might be learning a little patience. Boy, we're an anxious people, aren't we? We want something, we want it now. I mean, we want it, well, actually, we want it yesterday or last week. But yet, God was teaching them, listen, I'm not giving it to you right off the bat. You know, patience is a virtue. And a patience is not something that we like to think about because we know what patience brings. The Bible said of Job, that Job, listen, he was the patience of Job, but look what he had to go through. But yet today, God doesn't get in a hurry, but he's always on time. We talked about that this morning. Many times in the Bible we see where he was on time, no matter what he did or where he came from. He was always on time. When Lazarus died, he was right on time. He's right on time. When Isaac, we was talking in Sunday school this morning, when Isaac was born, good night. He had been telling Abraham and Sarah that he was going to have a child for a lot of long years. And I tell you what, in fact, Sarah, in her unbelief, she laughed and even tried to get Hagar to produce a child for her because she didn't think she could have it. But yet, finally, God gave them the child that they had prayed for, and not only prayed for, but had been promised to them. God is from everlasting to everlasting. Here's a good thought. His patience will never overrule his purpose. His patience will never overrule his purpose. Friend, today, what a blessing it is. Just be patient. The psalmist said, wait upon the Lord. Well, it was the book of Isaiah. It said, wait upon the Lord and he'll renew thy strength. You'll mount up with wings as eagles. You shall run and not be weary. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. And I believe the psalmist said, I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And yet today we just need to wait. God has not died. God is not asleep. God is still right where he's always been. And friend, what he does will be right on time, every time, if we trust him. So they learn patience. Friend, don't we sometimes need to learn patience. Sometimes God allows us to do that in order that we might understand it. But then the blessing is they learned about the presence of God. I'm convinced this morning a lot of people go to church week in and week out, and they never sense the presence of God. I would pray that God would help us today to sense the presence of God at Victory Baptist Church. For without him, we can do nothing. In fact, we are totally dependent upon him and his strength and his power and his ability in order that he might accomplish in us what only he can do. He leads us every step of the way. And I'm grateful the Bible said in this passage of Scripture, for the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Every step that they took in the journey in the wilderness, God took it with them. He led them. He guided them by a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. He fed them manna. He gave them everything they needed along the way. But friend, they experienced the presence of God. In 40 years, they learned some things that probably helped them. But there's one thing they learned, that he'll never leave them nor forsake them. And I tell you this morning, I serve an awesome God. And I tell you, there's been times that I felt deserted. But it's always been because of my relationship with him and not his relationship with me. Friend, he's always been there. He's always there in our time of need. And more than anything, we need the presence of God. We need the presence of God in our church. We need the presence of God in our home. We need the presence of God in our job. He said, well, not where I work. Oh, yes. The presence of God in you that others may see Christ and understand who you are and what you do. But I guess the thing that really overwhelmed me is that seventh thing they learned, and it's the last few words, and thou hast lacked nothing. You know, God provided everything they needed, and they lacked nothing. I'd say today that we're a generation of people that lack nothing. We've got all our desires and all our wants, but you know, God always provides. You remember Elijah? When he didn't have anything to eat, God sent the ravens to feed him. You remember the little boy that had the lunch and God fed 5,000 and they picked up the raiments from it. Friend, I tell you, God can just as easily feed millions as much as he can you and I. With the same amount, I might add, because he can turn it into more. But I tell you, they learned that God provided. And I tell you, they might have got not liked so much the manna they got, and they might not have liked the other things that came their way. But you know, it's not about liking. It's thank God we're not lacking. And God is providing everything they needed along the way. He's so extraordinary. God will always meet his people's needs, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. I'm glad today. I want to know God like they did. I want to know God. You said, well, set out on your journey. Oh, I've been on my journey. I've been on my journey for a while. And thank God today, the more I travel on the road, on the journey, the closer I come to realizing how great my God really is. I often refer to this because I think it's a great passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest men that ever lived, he gave us much of the Bible which we enjoy and have in order that we might learn what God has to say. But yet, the Apostle Paul said something one time that stunned me when I first read it years ago. But in the book of Philippians, He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Now, there's no doubt in my mind Paul knew God personally. God knew him. He was his Savior. But friend, he said that I might know him. And I'm afraid this morning there's a lot of people, we have a head knowledge. And there's a lot of things. And you may know him in your heart. I'm not saying you don't. But we don't really know him in all the things that he's provided for us. Friend, I tell you today, the children of Israel had to wander 40 years, but God led them every step of the way. There's no limit to what God can and will do for those who love him and keep his word. And I tell you today, we better love him and keep his word and be faithful to him. Because, friend, God has never failed me. He never will fail me, and he'll never fail you. Friend, today, let's learn today these things about God. And it'll help us in our daily life as we live to serve him and to be faithful to him. If you don't know him today in a personal way, he stands ready. He said, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And today, you can know him in a personal way, and then you can begin your journey to know him in a real way, of knowing his character, knowing who he is, knowing what he does, and knowing his care for you. I pray this morning you know Jesus as your Savior, and you know today if you died, you go to heaven. And I hope today if you're saved, you'll want to know him in a more real and personal way. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity and the privilege to come together. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, thank you for the children of Israel, the great illustration. My, we could go on and on about the illustration that God is and the things God does. I pray, Lord, that you would bless. I pray that you would guide and direct, give wisdom and strength and help in our lives. Lord, today nobody desires to go through the wilderness. Nobody desires any kind of hardship. But Lord, whatever it takes, the songwriter said, for my will to break, that's what I'll be willing to do. And Lord, today as Moses reminded them, he said, remember, remember, remember. And as I challenge you today, remember, remember, remember who Jesus is and who God is in each and every one of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.